Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Calling for you and for me.
See on the portal, she's waiting and watching.
Watching for you and for me.
Year that people would have been able to turn to you, and I have submitted themselves to the truth, Father. Pray that we know there are many people out there that need saving, and pray that you can help us to be able to reach them, Father, and so that they'll be able to see the light. This is what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good evening, all my lovely viewers. Yeah, once again, and this is your brother Paul Orphan coming to you live on my own Facebook page, and also some will take me from YouTube and Radio Republic, Instagram, and other handles where you can get these social media programs. I will say Happy New Year to you all, because this is the first Sunday of the year 2024, and this is the first program I'm doing in this year. So Happy New Year to you. I hope you enjoy your new year. And I hope all that you have, you know, have in your mind towards the year 2024 will come through for you. And God bless you that you always find time to follow me when I come on this program. Brothers and sisters, once again, my name is Brother Paul Orphan. And with me are my family here singing praises to Almighty God. Now, the song we just sang is a calling song, and we are saying that Jesus is tenderly and softly calling you to come home. Are you ready to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ? Today, there is an issue that concerns you. And this is not only you, many people find it difficult to get this or understand. And that is why I have taken time that we start to study this lesson to help us as we prepare ourselves in this year 2024. Now, what do I have for you tonight? Very simple. The topic is the unknown God. The unknown God. So this is what we are going to study for maybe the next 5-6 weeks. It is going to be on, you know, part or series. So what I'll play with you is do not miss any of them. Try to follow all the series to the latter so that you can have full benefit from this lesson. And it is important, if you are listening to me and somebody still have doubts in his mind whether there is God or no God, please you forward this lesson to the person or invite him to join me every Sunday as I do this lesson so that he can also get benefits of it. Now, it's a lesson that will help all of us, both Christians and non-Christians, and even non-believers, those who do not believe. This lesson will help you. And as I said, the title for this lesson is The Unknown God. The Unknown God. You see, the knowledge of God is a difficult subject, right, for many to understand or comprehend. If a survey is done right now, okay, and a question is asked whether or not there is God or God exists, it is possible that we'll get answers like, yes, he does. Many who say they believe in God will say, yes, he does exist. And some will say, no, I don't believe that. And we hear this all the time. And others who are not sure will say that, I'm not sure whether there is God or not. So these three categories of people or answers is what we're going to get if the question whether or not God is alive or exists or dead. These are the answers we're going to get. Now, but imagine the world without God or morality. And what kind of world do you think we're going to see? The world where humans behave like animals in the jungle. Without laws and morals, everything is survivor of the fittest. What do you think this world is going to be? Again, picture in your mind for a second, how does the world without God and morals be? The knowledge of God is fading away gradually from among the modern people. Even those who claim to know God are not so sure about what they believe. The reason why there is a lot of moral decay in our generation is because we have taken God out of our lives. We have taken God out of the equation. And Paul, the apostle, describes such a people without God and morality in Romans chapter 1. If you get time, you read that passage. For those who are Bible believers, read that passage. And even if you don't believe in the Bible, I'll plead with you to have time for once just to read this. Then you can understand when we say people without God, how they behave. Though this was written about 2,000 years ago, it fits perfectly for this generation of ours. What we are going to read from this book, you may think that the way it's describing us today, it was written just yesterday. No. This was written about 2,000 years ago, but it gives us a picture of the modern people. Paul says, and I quote, from Romans chapter 1 is what I'm going to read. I can read everything, but because of time, so we're going to read a Syrian's point. He said, We have become, people of today have become futile in our thinking, and our hearts are darkened. Now we are talking about the world without God, the world without morality, because it is God that describe or prescribe morality for man. Okay, so if there's no God, there's no morality. So we're going to, you know, see the picture of the world without God and morality, how the people behave. And if we come to Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 31, the apostle said, "And since we, our generation," you put our generation there, "and since we do not see fit to acknowledge God, God has also given us up to a debased mind." Okay? Because we don't want to acknowledge God, because we have taken God out of the equation, because we don't want to see God. Now we have taken God out of our vocabulary. Right? So God has also given us up to a debased mind. When we say debased mind, it's the mind that does not have the capacity to retain the knowledge of God. We don't have the mind that have capacity to retain the knowledge of God, because we have taken God out of our lives. And that is why we see these things. Okay? He has given us up to the debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So the generation without God, the world without God and morality, right? They are doing what ought not to be done. Abominable thing is what you see from the people without God and without morality. Verse 29 says, "We are filled with all manner of deceit, maliciousness. We are gossips," right? Verse 29, take it again. He said, "We are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. We are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. We are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless people." So this is the picture you see from the world without God and without morality. This is the picture you see on this generation. People have become full of envy. They are murderers. They are strife, unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. Okay? We are boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. This is what we see today. That is the world without God and without what? Morality. So this is the kind of the world that we, you know, are experiencing now. This is a kind of morality that we are experiencing. So, the world without God. If you continue from verse 26 to 27, listen to what the apostle says. Romans chapter 1, I'm reading. He says, "We are a generation where women have exchanged their natural relation for those that are contrary to nature." Now, this was written 2,000 years ago. But look at what he's saying here. We have exchanged our women have exchanged their natural relationship with those that are contrary to nature. Verse 27 is, "We are a generation where men likewise have given up their natural relations with women and have been consumed with passion for one another. Man has damned the woman and now is sleeping with man." That is what the apostle is saying. This was written 2,000 years ago. Brother, tell me, is it not a picture we see today? Is it not what we see? Sometimes when people say the Bible is written by man's imagination, I just laugh. How can someone sit down 2,000 years ago and write something that is best describe me today? You have to understand, the Word of God is alive all the time. And every generation, God has spoken and it does work. 2,000 years ago, and what the apostle is saying is better describing my generation, what is going on today. a generation where man likewise has given up the natural relations with woman and is consumed with passion for a man, for another, committing shameless acts with one another, but these have become normal in this generation, to the extent that people calling themselves men of God are also giving their blessing to such an abominable act, a shameful act. There are some churches who are also blessing this act that the Bible call it abominable act. So this is a generation without God, and this is what you see. This is what you see. A generation where those who even say they believe in God want to set up their own rules for Him. Those who say they believe in God, they want to set up their own rules and regulations for God. Okay? They want to set up their own rules for God instead of being guided by God's rules. People are moving God's law and replacing them with their own tradition, passions, and desires. Today, people go to church, they want to hear what they want, right? And not what the Bible tells them. No, they want to, you know, worship God in their own way. They are not being guided by what the scripture is teaching. This is the generation without God. Even those who claim they know God, they don't know God. They are doing their own thing. You see, people are removing God's laws and replacing them with their traditions, their passions, and their desires. And that is why Christianity, or the Christian religion, is now in shambles, because everyone is doing whatever he wants and seems right in his own eyes. The world without God and morals, that is what you see. Now, let's come to those who say there is no God. Now, to say there is no God because you cannot see him physically is absurd. You understand? If it's like seeing snow covering the entire surface of your area in the morning. Just yesterday, we got up in the morning and our gardens everywhere is covered by snow. Now, if I got up in the morning and say that there hasn't been any snowfall because I didn't see the snow coming down, what do you describe me? What would you describe me? Seeing the snow covering the entire surface of the area, but still refusing to admit that there was a snow falling overnight. Because you didn't see, you deny that. Even though you didn't see the snow falling during the night, what about the evidence you find on the ground when you got up in the morning? What about the snow that you found scattered? Because you didn't see it falling from the sky, so you say, no, there was no snowfall. That is how some people behave. They want to see it. They want to feel it. They want to touch it. They want to smell it. Other than that, this has never happened. Even if you show them the evidence. There are people of this generation that behave that way. And these are the people that say they don't think God is alive. They don't think God is alive. Now let me tell you, the Bible is clear. For those who believe in the Bible, God lives. But the scripture says, no one has ever seen God. If you read 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No one has ever seen God. But if you have not seen anything, it doesn't mean that thing is not there. I've not been to Japan before. There are so many things they are saying it is in Japan. So because I have not been there and I have not seen it with my naked eye, so should I say that thing does not exist? So those who are making that argument that because they have not seen God, touch God, smell God, God does not exist. This is feeble argument. It doesn't hold legs. But let's give them the benefit of the doubt, because that is how they believe. But let's see if this is something that we have to entertain. Now, if you read Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, God said to Moses and the people of Israel, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And this is what God told Moses. So those who want to see God, God said, "No, you cannot see my face, because you can't. At the very moment you see me, you'll die. You'll not even see him to die, because God is unseen." It becomes extremely difficult for some to believe he is there. Therefore, to some, demanding to see God right before believing in him is legitimate to them. But would you have justification for not acknowledging God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Though you did not witness the snow falling, common sense will tell you that what you saw on the ground is proof that there was a snowfall overnight. Because you can't tell me if you get up in the morning like I saw 3 days ago, all my entire area is covered with snowflakes. And then I still deny that there was no snow falling overnight because I didn't see it. That is the argument some people are making now. Brothers and sisters, let's read some of these things to see if that will help us. Okay, if that will help us. This lesson, we are going to focus on the unknown God. He's unknown. The unknown God. That's what we are going to discuss. If we say God exists, how are we so sure? And how do we know he does? How can, you know, he, God, interact with his creation? Or how does he interact with his creation? Especially man, being part of God's creation. If God exists, how does he interact with man? And that is what we're going to discuss throughout this lesson that we have just started. Where there is a creation, definitely there must be a creator. Right? And the two should have some kind of relationship. I believe there are reasonable and legitimate questions that require an answer. If somebody say, where is God? Okay? We need to show him where God is. But unfortunately for that person, you cannot see God's face, because God himself said, "I am invisible. I am unknown. You can't see my face. I am spirit. You can't see spirit. But if you still want to see me, I'll show you something that will let you know that I am still alive. The great God is still there." Now, if you read Acts chapter 17, verse 23, Paul travels to Athens in Greece, right? And there he observed the behavior of the people and see what they believe. And amongst other things, is an altar for the unknown God. When he got to Athens, they made a lot of altars, right? With all their names. And these, they worshiped them. And amongst them was a big altar, a unique one. And they have written on this altar, "To the unknown God." To the unknown God. And Paul saw that the people know that there is a God that they don't know. They believe that there's somebody out there, but they don't know him. And for their own, you know, gods, they know their gods. They have made these kind of altars for them. But this particular God, we don't know him. So he said to the unknown God. Do you know what Paul said? Paul said, 23 says, "For as I pass along and observe the objects of your worship. I also find an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. So tonight, my brothers, I'm also proclaiming to you the unknown God, the God that you don't know. If a question is thrown to you just now, thrown to the public, we're going to get three answers. Whether or not God exists, one will say that, yes, he does, for those who believe in God. And that is to say that, well, I don't believe there is any God. And the third, there are those who are not so sure. They say, I'm not sure. Probably you'll find yourself in these three categories. Where are you? Do you believe or you don't believe or you are not sure? To the unknown God. These people knew there was God, but they didn't know him. Probably people who say there is God, they still don't know this unknown God. And this is the God I'm proclaiming to you tonight. The God of heavens, Jehovah God, I'm proclaiming to you tonight. I believe strongly that Jehovah God, who is unknown, interacts with humans behind the scenes. No doubt about that. Because you can create people and not have relationship with your creation. Absolutely not. That will not. Make a car or you can do something and then you don't have any relationship with a thing that you have done. It doesn't happen. So if we have the creation, there must be a creator. Everything we see in this world is design. Even the human body, there's a design in it. How can you see a design and you don't see a designer behind? So there is God. These people of Athens knew there was a God, but they don't know him. So they said to the unknown God, the God that we don't know. Probably you say you believe in God, but you are not so sure who the God is. And that is why I am proclaiming to you tonight the unknown God, the unknown God. And as I said, I believe God interacts with his creation. And he's always an unseen helper in the times of needs. He set up his natural laws and morals when he created the heavens and the earth, and also provided his rules and regulations written in the holy book called the Bible to guide mankind. And that is what Jehovah God did. When he created man, he set up his natural laws. If you go against this natural law, you find yourself wanting. He set up his morals and gave us his book called the Bible to guide man staying on this planet. Going against these natural laws and his set of rules and regulations will amount to a disaster for man. Many of the calamities we face today in this world are because man has failed to acknowledge God. He has ignored his natural laws and has broken his rules and regulations governing this universe. And that is why we find ourselves in this trouble. This natural law that God has given. Now, if you shoot somebody, you know the person will die. Common sense should tell you that. That's the law of nature. Of course, there should be an effect. You understand? So, if you ignore these natural laws, and then you do whatever you want, you are causing chaos for the world. That is why the world is still in chaos. Israel is still facing the Palestinians and killing them. We see Russia and their counterpart also fighting. Come to Africa, wars, so many countries. This is because people are taking the law into their own hands. And this is the chaos we find in the world today. Last week I was discussing with a friend of mine, and he is saying that he was wishing me Happy New Year, and he said, I wish the year 2024 will be the best for everyone. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't think so. Why do you say that, Brother Paul? I don't think so because man has taken God out of the equation. So the moral decay is going to go on. And do you remember what we read earlier on? Because Paul said, because man has taken man out of his life, God has also led them up to a debased mind, so that they will do abominable things. So that is what it is. You see, every year, you will say that, oh, last year was no good, I hope this year will be better. You continue to say that because it's not going to go better until man changes heart and take God into the equation. They are not God. Brothers, I don't want to take much of your time. This is where I'm going to draw the curtain for the introduction today. But next week, when we come back, we are going to discuss how God, that is unknown, interact with humans today. He created us, and he must have a relationship with us. So does God interact with man today, as he did in the past? We'll check the past, whether or not God interacted with people, and how did he do it? And today, Does he do it in the same way? So this is what next week we're going to see. By the time we finish this lesson, you will be convinced yourself whether or not God is there. The unknown God. Do you know him? Or you don't believe he's there? Or you are not so sure? This is your brother Paul. I hope this lesson helped you. You join me next week to continue on part two. If you are still doubting in your mind, please follow me with this lesson till the end. Because there are so many things that we face today. The Holy Scripture has already written it down about 2,000 years ago, and today we are facing it. So don't underrate the Bible. Don't underestimate the Bible. And two, ridicule yourself to say that the Bible is somebody's imagination. No. Things that were written out 2,000 years ago will not affect us today. But it's exactly the same picture that we see from the scriptures. God bless you, my brother, my sister. But if you want more of this lesson, try to visit the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is everywhere in the world. Our doors are always open to share the truth in the Bible with you. We believe that God is alive. The unknown God is known to us. And we'll make it this clear, right? Next week when we come back again. God bless you. Please share this video to as many as you like, so that many people will come to acknowledge the God that is unknown. God bless you. You also find this video on YouTube. Now, if you are joining me on YouTube, I'll beg of you to subscribe to my channel so that anytime I come online, you will be first to receive notification. You can get me on Spotify, which is only radio. Some will get me on WhatsApp and also Instagram and other social media handles. God bless you for listening to me. Bye-bye.